Good morning and welcome to the Rush Hour for Monday the 24th of July. Pope Benedict reflected overnight on King Solomon's choice to ask God for a well-formed conscience, a gift that the pontiff said is essential for societies and people to become truly good. The Pope told crowds gathered before the midday Angelus at Castel Gandolfo that, in reality, the true quality of our own life and that of society depends on a person's rightly formed conscience and on everyone's capacity to recognize good, separating it from evil, and to try and bring it about patiently to contribute to the cause of justice and peace. Politicians, he added, naturally have more responsibilities, and thus, as Solomon teaches, need God's help even more. The Pope said that each person has a conscience so that he can, in a sense, act as a king. People are able to exercise this royal command by choosing to follow their conscience, doing good, and avoiding evil. Pope Benedict also issued a heartfelt plea to all yesterday following the terrorist attacks in Norway. He called on everyone to abandon forever the path of hatred and escape from the logic of evil, as he offered his prayers for the victims and their families. The Pope said the news of the bombing in downtown Oslo and the subsequent shooting at a youth camp caused him deep sorrow and left him grief-stricken. 57,000 young people have protested the message of a UN youth conference. The statement will be released later today. Tyler Ament, director of the International Youth Coalition, said that the young people did not agree with much of the document, which was produced by governments, nor did they agree with the messages being put out by UN agencies, like sex rights for young people and other objectionable ideas. Ament and his colleagues will present a youth statement to the UN and the world that has been signed by 120,000 people, including 57,000 under the age of 30. The youth statement recognises the rights of parents and calls for policymakers to return to basics and get away from dangerous ideas that are harmful to young people. Other speakers, when the statement is released later today, include Kristen Hawkins, president of Students for Life of America, the largest youth pro-life organisation in the country, Leah Darrow, a former America's Top Model contestant turned chastity speaker, and Thomas Peters, creator of the American Papist blog, which is one of the most popular Catholic blogs on the web. For more information, go to iycoalition.org. The bishops of Bolivia have opened the beatification process of Francisco Tita Yupanqui. If approved, he would become the first blessed Bolivian. He was born in 1550 and was one of the first indigenous people to convert to Catholicism. He carved the image of the Virgin of Copacabana, which is an extremely important figure in Bolivia. The Marian Shrine of Copacabana is one of the oldest in America. The miracles attributed to the image have prompted the investigation into Francisco Tito's holiness. The sculptor is so popular in his native country, there's actually a village in the western part of Bolivia named after Tito Yupanqui. Now Catholics in Bolivia are hoping his beatification will come soon. Carlos Frederico de la Riva, Bolivia's ambassador to the Vatican, said, "In a way, Bolivians see it as a justice. People say, gee, all the saints are from other countries, as if there was no room for holiness in Bolivia." If he does in fact become a blessed, the ambassador says it will promote a Christian way of living in his home country. The Russian government has enacted a law requiring abortion ads to carry health warnings about the procedure. Lawmakers say the ads presently mislead the public by creating the impression that abortion is a simple surgery with no health risks. The new amendments require that warnings about the dangers, including loss of fertility, should occupy at minimum 10% of each advertisement. President Dmitry Medvedev signed the bill into law on the 14th of July. Russia has one of the world's highest abortion rates. More than 1 million women have abortions every year. In 2007, there were 1.5 million abortions, a number almost equal to the number of children born. Russia's population dropped from 145 million in 2002 to under 143 million in 2010. The death rate continues to exceed the birth rate, despite government efforts to encourage Russians to have more children. The United Nations predicts that by 2050, Russia's population will have declined to 116 million, a decrease of almost 20%. It says overcoming racism and taking more migrants could help the country boost its population. Health experts say key factors in Russia's population decline are poor diet, heavy drinking by men, a heroin abuse-related HIV/AIDS epidemic, and a high number of violent deaths. The Orthodox Church has increasing influence and has called for tougher restrictions on abortion. The Parliament may soon pass a new bill that could limit access to abortion procedures and toughen punishments for doctors who carry out illegal abortions. It would also allow mothers of newborns who are unwilling or unable to keep their babies to leave them anonymously in special adoption centres. The Soviet Union was the first country in the world to legalise abortion on demand in 1920. Joseph Stalin outlawed abortion from 1936 until his death in 1954 to try to boost the birth rate. And just briefly, tomorrow the church commemorates the parents of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Saints Joachim and Anne, whose faith and perseverance brought them through the sorrow of childlessness to the joy of conceiving and raising the immaculate and sinless woman who would give birth to Christ. And ahead of World Youth Day, the Vatican has released new figures on the number of Catholics in Spain. The answer is there's 42.5 million. Out of a total population of 46 million. Basically, there's no change since last year, although there are hundreds less priests and religious. And that's it for this morning's update. Thanks for listening. God bless.